glad to see the midweek service tonight. We appreciate your presence with us. We're turning to the hymn 514 as we commence the service this evening. We're thinking of soul winning, reaching the lost, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. 514, we're standing to sing, please. Salvation. Thank you for the greatness of your love. We praise thee, Father, for the greatness of your mercy towards us. Even the words that we've sung together, Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. Lord, we thank you for your mercy towards us. We rejoice that we have known, tasted, experienced the greatness of your mercy. We want to thank you for saving us. We're glad tonight, Father, that that is our testimony. We thank you for giving us the assurance of salvation. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Lord, we rejoice in the certainty that we're going to be with Christ for all eternity. Father, our prayer is that every day we'll press on with thyself. We pray that you'll save us from going astray, deliver us from falling, save us from coldness, turning back like King Saul of old. Lord, help us, we pray, to go forward and to go on with thyself. We pray that even as a result of this meeting tonight, that you'll encourage us on with yourself. We pray, Father, that we'll break new ground in the Christian life. We want to ask that your hand will be upon the whole meeting tonight. Father, come and bless us with your presence. Come amongst us. Lord, we ask of thee, we plead with thee now to come into our midst in this service. We want to pray, Father, that from this very outset, from this opening prayer, we'll know the Lord is here. We'll sense the Lord's presence. We'll be conscious of the Lord being amongst us. Come tonight, Father, in blessing. Come and bless our hearts. Come, Father, and touch our hearts. Come and refresh us. We ask around the throne of grace. Even, Father, as a result of our study of your word, we pray that you'll deepen the burden that we have for the lost. We want to pray that you'll use us in the winning of souls. Remember that your word teaches that he that winneth souls is wise. And Lord, we want to be a winner of souls. We ask thee to help us in that great task. Give us the power that is needed. Give us the opportunities to speak to others of the Saviour. Help us, Father, to be zealous in going after souls. We think of the words that we have run or sung together. Rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Lord, we pray that this church will ever be a rescue shop within a yard of hell. I want to thank you, Father, for the services on the Lord's Day past. Thank you for the evening time. Thank you for the visitors in the meeting. Lord, I want to pray that you'll speak to hearts, speak to those that were present, those that are not right with God. Lord, speak even through the live stream as it goes forth. We pray that you'll use it in this community, those of the church that can't be out at the meetings. And Lord, we pray that even others from this district would listen in to the meetings, speak to their hearts. Oh God, bring them along to the house of God as a result of those broadcasts. We want to pray for others in other lands. Father, we pray that even some in Muslim lands, some that live in those lands that are close to the gospel, will be drawn and guided to the live stream of our meetings. And we pray, Father, give us a ministry even across the earth as a result. We want to pray that we'll hear back from those that have been spoken to as a result, Father, of those broadcasts and the messages that go out. Remember the radio broadcasts as well. Keep the door open on Radio Star. Thank you for the opportunity to broadcast the gospel into Southern Ireland. We think, Father, of a land that's dominated by the darkness of Romanism. And Lord, we think of so many in these days that are influenced by materialism, taken up by the things of this world. Oh God, cause them to think of their soul and that world that is to come. We want to pray, Father, even as we thought on the Sabbath evening, that men and women will be concerned about their eternal destiny. And we pray that they will be brought to that place where they will flee from the wrath that is to come. Oh God, we pray, bless, use again the cause of the gospel in this land of our strength and the work of God. We pray that you do that for us here in Armagh. Lord, send in others, bring in more visitors, we pray, to our meetings. And Lord, we ask for this Sabbath, as the Sunday school, the Bible classes will begin again, put your hand upon them. We pray for new children to be brought in. We pray, Lord, for those brought along to the Sunday school that we're not expecting to be there. Bless the Bible classes as well. We pray to encourage all that are involved in the teaching of the children and the young people. Remember the bright hours as they will begin again next week, Father. We commit them to thee as well. Praying for a good start to this new season. Praying, Father, for your hand to be upon the meetings. And Lord, we pray for the safety of all the children that come along to our services. We pray that no harm would come to them. But especially, Father, it's for their eternal safety that we would cry that they might come while they're still children to know Christ as their Saviour. Remember youth fellowship as well, Father, as it will begin again at the end of next week. Thank you for the young people. And Lord, our prayer would be add to them, increase their number. We plead, Father, in the days that are to come. So here these are prayers. Bless us now as we gather around the word. We pray that even through the reading of your word, that our hearts will be blessed and stirred tonight. Answer these are prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading together, please, in 1 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to read the opening section together, the opening 9 verses. The first book of Samuel, the 21st chapter. And let's hear the word of the Lord together. First Samuel chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that, give it me. Closing just there, the end of the 9th verse, we pray the Lord will add his blessing tonight to the reading of his word. The words of the 8th verse, let me direct your attention to them. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? for I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. So the words there just at the end of the verse, the king's business. It's good to be about the king's business. But it says the king's business required haste. Can I emphasize to you, the thing we're going to consider tonight is the winning of the lost. So think of the beginning of this new season of winter's work, the various departments of the outreach of the church here soon to recommence. We want to think especially of the work among the children and the young people, and may the Lord increase our burden to win the lost to him. I suggest to you that every Christian, especially every Sunday school teacher, youth worker, children's worker, you should read the life of the American evangelist D.L. Moody. One of the reasons I emphasize that, encourage you to do that, is because most of the early years of the ministry, the Christian service of D.L. Moody, was focused on his work among boys and girls. D.L. Moody started out as a children's evangelist. And in addition to that, many important events in the life of D.L. Moody happened as a result of Sunday school work, happened as a result of children's work. Can I remind you, for one thing, D.L. Moody was converted himself through the labours of his own Sunday school teacher. His name was Edward Kimball. It's a name to be remembered. God used him greatly. Remember that Edward Kimball came to D.L. Moody's place of employment. He was burdened for the young man. And that's when he told him, "I'm concerned for you, young man." And it was that simple word of testimony. D.L. Moody thought, if my Sunday school teacher is concerned for me, I should be concerned for myself. And that's what brought him to Christ and salvation. So what an encouragement that is to every Sunday school teacher, every children's worker. Think of Edward Kimball winning a man like D.L. Moody, went on to be so mightily used of the Lord. So what an encouragement to you. Pray that the Lord would use you to win some of the children in your class, in your meeting. And then in years to come, the Lord would put his hand on them and raise them up and use them mightily in his service. Remember too, as well as Moody being converted in the Sunday school, he also started his own Christian service in the Sunday school. He called it drumming up boys and girls, and he was greatly gifted in that. He would go out on a Sunday morning, he would go round the houses, he would go round the doors, round all those housing estates, housing developments, and he would drum up, he would round up the boys and girls and bring them into the Sunday school, into the house of God, that they might hear the message of the gospel. Can I encourage you to think about that as well? As the new season begins, you may not feel that you're able to teach in a Sunday school class or take part in one of the children's meetings, but there's a work to be done in rounding up, drumming up boys and girls, going out and speaking to them and to their families, and perhaps even bringing them along to the house of God. In addition to that, D.L. Moody met his wife at Sunday school. Whenever he was rounding up boys and girls for the Wells Street Mission, one day he spied a new Sunday school teacher. Her name was Emma Revels. Her brother was Fleming Revels, who became a very famous publisher, particularly of Christian literature. At the time that D.L. Moody first met Emma, she was only 15 years of age. But 4 years later, whenever she was 19, she became his wife. And what a blessing she was to him, and what a love he had for her. Another special event at D.L. Moody's Sunday school took place in November 1860. At that time, just think of this, take it in. At that time, Moody's Sunday school numbered over a thousand boys and girls coming every Sabbath to be taught the Word of God. And in November of 1860, Abraham Lincoln, who was then the President of the United States of America, came specially to visit D.L. Moody Sunday School, and he addressed the Sunday School, the boys and girls, as they were gathered, and he publicly commended D.L. Moody for the great work that he was doing among the children of that community. What a blessing, men and women, just think of it. What a blessing it would be in our land, in our day, if our political leaders were more interested in the Sunday School work that goes on across the land, or saw the blessing that that Sunday School work was to the nation. So we pray the Lord will raise up in our day political leaders of the calibre of Lincoln, and with the burden even for the children that Lincoln had, and the burden to be taught the Word of God. So you can see quite a number of the major events in the life of D.L. Moody took place around the Sunday School, around his work among the boys and girls. But there, in addition to those that I've mentioned, there's one other event that is worthy of note that was connected with D.L. Moody's Sunday School. And this particular event had a great impact on the life of D.L. Moody. One day, he was at his office, and the door opened. He looked up, and one of his Sunday School teachers was entering in through the door of his office. The man looked very pale, looked very sickly. He explained to Mr. Moody that he had been diagnosed with tuberculosis. He'd been feeling very ill. He was bleeding internally at his lungs. The doctor told him that living in the city of Chicago, remember it's known as the Windy City, but living in the city of Chicago wasn't helping his health, and he would need to move back to the East Coast. The man came from New York State, and the doctor advised him that the climate there would be better. So he advised him to move back to New York State, but he told him he'd probably be going back there to die. Now the man was deeply shaken, and that surprised D.L. Moody. He asked the man, "Are you afraid to die?" The man's response was, "Oh no, not afraid to die." He said, "What I'm concerned about is my Sunday School class." Think of the burden on his heart. He said, "I have failed that Sunday School class. I failed them because not one of them has been led to Christ in salvation." And he was thinking of death and eternity. He was thinking of standing before the Lord. And he said to Moody that day, "How can I face God?" And not one of those girls, a class of girls that he taught in the Sunday School, he said, "How can I face God and not one of those girls has been converted through my labours amongst them?" Moody was very, very challenged about that. In fact, he was deeply troubled by what he heard from that Sunday School teacher that day. He testified afterwards he had never heard anyone talk like that before about children. He never heard anybody talk with such a burden for the souls of the children. He admitted that all that he had ever been concerned about before was numbers. Remember I said to you, at that time when Abraham Lincoln came, there was over 1,000 children in a Sunday School. Really quite phenomenal, amazing. But he admitted that all he was concerned about before was numbers. Get as many children in as possible. Get as many children along on a Sunday morning to the Sunday School as you can. He never had thought that those children could be converted. So what a challenge, brethren and sisters. What a great lesson that is. To remind you of the warning of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said, "We're not to offend one of these little ones that believe on me." So it's very clear from that one verse alone that children can be saved. And I want to stress that to you. And notice the warning, we're not to offend one of these little ones that believe in Christ, come and put their trust in him. So children can be saved. What Moody suggested to the came to Christ, they had the joy, and it was a great joy, of pointing every one of them to the Saviour. The teacher was overjoyed himself. Moody said his face shone. He rejoiced that his whole class, whole Sunday school class, was now won to Jesus Christ in salvation. Moody arranged for that whole class, for all of those girls and their teacher, to come to his house one day for tea. After they'd had the tea together, the few refreshments prepared, they read the scriptures, they sang a hymn, and then they prayed together. And Moody said, to his amazement, the girls began to pray themselves. And they prayed for their teacher, prayed for his health, prayed the Lord would give them grace. And then they prayed that God would give them power to win others to the Saviour. What a challenge that is, brethren and sisters. Can I encourage you tonight to follow their example? Pray like that, even in this meeting tonight, that God would give us help to win others to the Saviour, that the Lord would give us fruitful, soul-winning lives and ministry. Moody couldn't believe it. He said his heart was touched, his heart was melted when he heard those young girls pray and plead with God. The next day, Mr. Moody hurried to the train station. That was the day that the Sunday school teacher was leaving Chicago. So he hurried to the train station to see his friend off on the journey home. And he was very surprised when he got to the train station to find that the whole Sunday school class was gathered there. And there had been no prior arrangement made for them to gather or to meet. They'd all come individually and they'd all come spontaneously. So they stood together in the train station on the platform and they sang a hymn together before the party with their Sunday school teacher. And as the train left, as it was pulling out of the station, they were standing on the platform. You think of those old trains, you think of the steam train and the smoke rising up from it. You think of the Sunday school teacher standing on the platform at the back. And that was the last view that Moody and the class got of that dear brother, standing there on that platform with his hand lifted and his finger pointing to heaven, because he was giving them a final message. He knew that that is where they would all meet together. He would meet Moody, and the thing that burdened him so much, he knew he would meet his Sunday school class again in heaven, in the land that is fair than day. You know, there was a number of events in Moody's life providentially that changed him, and that was one of them. That event, what happened with those girls, what that Sunday school teacher told them, the burden they had to see them want to Christ, that had a great impact on Moody's life. The impact was really tremendous. It resulted in D.L. Moody giving up his secular employment, giving up his work, his job, to go full time into the Lord's service. At that time, Moody was a very successful shoe salesman. Whenever Edward Kimball came to Moody's place of employment to speak to him about the Lord, he came to a shoe shop. That's where Moody was working. So he was a very successful salesman. He sold shoes. And with the commission that he got, he was earning at that time $5,000 a year. And remember, we're talking here about something like 140, 150 years ago. So he was earning $5,000 a year. And when he gave up his work, when he gave up the selling of the shoes, the next year, his salary was just $150. He had a great struggle over that, because he loved the business life of Chicago. He loved being involved in the shoe business and the selling of the shoes. So there was a struggle that went on in his heart as he surrendered to the will of God for his life. But you know, brethren and sisters, as he thought of those boys and girls, as he thought of their spiritual condition, thought of their souls, as he thought of those girls all been led to Christ, D.L. Moody came to the conviction there was only one business that he could spend the rest of his life in and engaged in. And that was the business of winning the lost to Christ. So what a challenge that is, brethren and sisters, to our hearts tonight. What a challenge if you're a children's worker, Sunday school teacher. What a challenge to every youth worker, to every Christian in this midweek prayer meeting tonight. It's not enough, brethren and sisters. It's not enough to bring the children into the meetings. It's not enough just to teach them the Word of God. Those things are important. They're very necessary. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But it's not enough just to bring the children to the meetings. Let us never lose sight of the vision. Let us never lose the burden for their souls and the burden to win their souls, to see those children won to Christ, brought to the Lord Jesus in salvation. Can I ask you tonight, whose business are you taking up with? Whose business do you give first place in your life? Remember the words of the Saviour, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So whose business do you give first place to? Is it your own? Or is it the Lord's? Or in the words of our text, is it the King's business? Remember, if you lift that into the spiritual realm, the king at that time was King Saul. But as we think of the king, we're thinking of the King of Kings, the one who is Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We sometimes talk about the family business. Remember the Saviour, the first words, first recorded words of the Lord Jesus in the Bible, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business, the family business. What about your spiritual family's business tonight? Are you engaged in it? Are you concerned about it? Are you concerned about your Father's business going out and being a witness used of God in the winning of others and to the Saviour? Maybe you're engaged in a struggle that's going on in your heart. Just like D.L. Moody had at that time when he gave up his business, when he gave up his secular employment. The struggle in your heart is the love of business. But the Lord's calling you more into the work. If that's the case, brethren and sisters, then follow the example of Mr. Moody. Don't resist. Don't refuse the call of God. Yield to him. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, yield yourselves to God. And I want to encourage you to do that. Be obedient to his word. Surrender and submit yourself to his will. So let me remind you, just as a finish of this text, as we think of in the will of God, the work that lies before us, the king's business. The king's business requireth haste. We must be about our Father's business while we have time and while we still have opportunity. Winning the lost to Christ. Here's the great task of the church, the great task God has given to us as believers. I pray that through this message tonight, God will renew, refresh that burden upon every heart. We're going to sing, it's a harvest hymn. We're coming into the harvest time, the harvest season. 735, pages 470. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? 735, and we'll stand to sing. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning?
bright and fair. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and white? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reapers will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for at the harvest? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom all along the fertile way? Would you glean golden sheaves in the harvest? Brother, come and join the ranks today. For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheep be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest?